Joe, the Evermore family has made quite a bit of news involving climbing adventures and certainly accomplishments. Share with us what your boys have done so far.
Yeah, so each year our boys have like one mission each, one colossal goal. And the big one this year is that Sam climbed the Matterhorn in Switzerland, became the youngest American to do that. Sylvan, who I have here, he's climbed a number of mountains that he's the youngest person to climb. You want to share a couple of those?
I've climbed Wolf's Head, I've climbed
Mount Moran. And Leaning Tower. Yeah, so these are some, if you Google these mountains, they're pretty nuts. I mean, being the youngest person, he climbed Mount Moran at 6. He climbed Leaning Tower when he was 7. And he also climbed Wolf's Head when he was 6. And so these are super hardcore mountains that took a lot of training and preparation to do.
I was going to ask, how does Sylvan prepare for doing something like this?
Yeah, how are you preparing lately?
In my backyard, we have a tree, and I jumar up the tree 5 times a day.
Yeah, so one of our rules is, to be one of our goals, you have to, it requires 3 things. One, it has to be so hard enough that you have to work on it a little bit every day. Number 2, it has to be really remarkable, since we only pick one per year. And so we pick things that are truly a stunning and remarkable ascents. And then rule number three is you can't die. So we make sure that we have the right team, the right people, the right gear, and everything is lined up and all planned out, and we have the right weather before we go. And so we're very cautious.
And people want to know, is there a harness involved? So it's not a free climb, is it?
Every time. These kids, we like to keep them bolted to the wall. So, we're as safe as we can be, you know, like, so yeah, these are always in a harness, always got a rope on them. We don't believe in climbing without a rope.
I hear you. So how has all this training and the hard work brought the family together? And does your faith play a role in this too?
Yeah. I mean, it's a kind of rites of passage in raising the boys. And, When you're in the mountains, you're definitely facing your mortality more than ever before, and you're in the creation, and so you're really seeing the magnificent, you know, world that God made. These vistas are unbelievable that we get to go, and we say it's about learning about the smallness of your greatness, because you comprehend God in the most tremendous way when you're in the mountains, and you're like this infinitesimal little dot up there. And so you're in like your greatest stature, but you're kind of against the superpower of God when you're like faced with his mountains. And so faith is a big part.
I would imagine this would give your sons skills and confidence for later on in life, dealing with life.
That's the goal. You know, it's kind of like, you know, courage is one of the most foundational attributes, one of those foundational characters, pieces that we have to gain. And, you know, when boys build self-regulation and then self-confidence and then courage, they later on in life, they're able to like do impossible and very hard things. And so, it's all about character building, what we're doing. And you know, and different fathers train their kids in different ways. It's like, this is our way through apprenticeship to kind of lead our boys through rites of passage. But our message is to other dads to be intentional and to take the reins and to do something, and make a plan to really build and initiate your boys into men.
Joe, what goes through your heart when you see your son doing something, an achievement has been made, you know, what's in your dad heart?
Well, I mean, I'm definitely proud of them. I'm definitely, I have a lot of stoke for them. So when Sam climbed the Matterhorn this summer, that was a 2-year mission, because we tried it last year. And when we were behind on our timing of the mountain, we basically respected the mountain and turned around. And so it was that was devastating, you know, and then doing it again, like then summiting it this year, It was just overwhelmingly like emotional to summit and to be on top of the, one of the most difficult Alps, and to see the whole world from there. Like it, we earned that summit, and Sam Forever has like earned his name, in that mountain. And so each of these boys, Sylvan, the mountains he's climbed, he'll never forget them. I'll never forget them. They're like old friends now.
And each boy has a unique middle name.
That's true. We're definitely people that are interested in having memorable kids, and so we ask God for great names. And so we've got Samuel Adventure, and then this guy, his name's Sylvan Lightyear. When we named him, God was telling us that his life was going to be on a really big scale. And so I don't know if a light year is actually a measurement of distance. It's 6 trillion miles. And then our next boy, we have Joey Danger. He definitely lives up to that. I got lots of stories to prove it. And then he's our 6-year-old. And then we have a brand new one, 10 months old, named Blaze Wilder.
Okay, that's a
So we got
brand
the whole
new one.
set. Yeah, we got, yep, he's new. I guess 10 months is still brand new. I think it's right out of the box.
Would say so. So, if we can, we want to go back a few years when your family experienced a very trying situation with the birth of little Ember. Please give us kind of an overview of what happened there.
Yeah, that's when all this courage and strength was needed, that's for sure. Basically, when you have three boys, all you want in the world is a girl, and you pray for her and you hope for her, and then she came, and we go into a sonogram appointment, and the sonographer was very cold. It wasn't like a good sonogram appointment, and so then the doctor comes in after kind of this cold feeling. I was already in the room and says, "I got some bad news for you. Your baby is gonna die. Your baby's gonna develop normally in the womb, and then after she's born, she's gonna die." And then begin to advocate abortion to us. And that was de it was de a devastating and bit of news for us. And it was really, really hard for me and Anne. Anne was fell into a really deep depression and kind of moved into the basement of the house. It was dark. And so what we did, to kind of rescue Anne, I came up with this idea that, hey, what if we laid out a map of all of our favorite places and we just took Ember to all of these places before she's born? And at the time, I was really doing that for Anne because I was in my heart really praying that God would just have mercy on us and miscarry this baby. And I thought maybe this would wake up Anne along the way. We took what we called the Ember Tour, which we started taking her to all of our favorite places, summiting some of our favorite mountains that Anne could do while pregnant. And on that way, in talking about our daughter every day, we all fell in love with her, and especially Sylvan. Sylvan loved his little sister, and we prayed for over mom each day, and we sat around campfires, talking about her and singing to her. We decided to name her name, or give her the name Ember, because coal and ember is like something that breaks away from the fire and then it burns out and like quickly. And so that was kind of like where the name came. But on that tour where we fell in love with her, she began to really change us and make us a lot more present, a lot more attentive. And there was a time when we were near Yosemite, there was a forest fire. And the reason that forest fire was there was because somebody's campfire had an ember that broke away from the fire and didn't just burn out, but it burned down the whole forest. And we began to really understand that Ember was changing us, that this little being was so powerful and so mighty in what God was doing in her life. And it was by far the most life-changing set of experiences when he came back from that tour. The boys realized that Ember wasn't going to make it till Christmas because she was going to be born in November. We always said Ember till November. And so we decided to do Christmas before Halloween, which made our HOA kind of mad that we lit up the house and got it all set up for Christmas. And to this day, we now put up our Christmas tree before Halloween. And so Ember came on November 4th, and she lived for an hour and 6 minutes, and our whole family was there, and it was by far the most spiritual and transcendent event of our lives. At the beginning of this journey, I remember like praying to God and like saying, God, how could you do this to us? And what I experienced in that hospital room was that God was actually sad with us. And for the first time in my life, I really realized that, our universe is quite a bit more complicated than just this simple version of like, God kind of blesses and curses whoever he wants. Like, I could feel that like the world is broken, and that God was sad, and that our, in a way, like he was sad that we were sad, and he was also, we could trust in him that he was going to take our daughter and that we were going to see her again. And the whole experience was so transformative that we actually decided to change our name. And it took us a little bit to do that, to get my parents to sign off and everybody in our family to sign off on that. But like, we changed our name from, we used to be the Baker family, and now we are the Evermore family, which is just referring to like God's eternal goodness and his love for us. And so that's how we became the Evermores.
So I understand your wife, Anne, said something to Ember in her final few moments, very poignant.
Yes, she did. I remember exactly where I was when she did. She looked at Ember as she's like giving us these few breaths, and she says, "You were so worth it." And that there are so many parts of this, of experiences that just were life-changing to us. And that was one of them. I'll never for our boys will never forget that.
And once again, a middle name in your family tradition, Ember's middle
Yes.
name, Moonlight.
That's right. So there was a very unique astronomical anomaly that happened right at the time for birth. It's hard to, it's another thing that chokes me up when I think about it. And so there's when the I believe it's when the Earth comes in between us and a full moon, what happens is the moon turns red. And the reason the moon turns red is because the only light on the spectrum that makes it to the moon is from 10,000 sunsets and 10,000 sunrises at like the same time. It's like you see red on the horizon because of the spectrum of light, and like on its edges, that's what goes through. So like these 10,000 sunsets and 10,000 sunrise are happening at the same time around the Earth, and that's all shining on the moon. And it just kind of signified to us how those things can happen simultaneously with this new life that God had given us. It was like Ember came and went, but and it kind of symbolize God's eternal goodness. And it's one of the reasons we went with the name Evermore. And so her name is Ember Moonlight Evermore, just like ours.
How did the passing of Ember change the trajectory of your family?
Well, we became very present, and we just began to look deeply inward. That tour helped us think about everything in our life, everything that mattered, everything that we loved. And our boys still mention their sister almost every day, and that's been many years now. Of Joey and Silly still talk about her, and it's she was like this catalyzing event that like got us really focused. And it was the year after that that Sam became the youngest person to climb El Capitan, and we got really intentional about how we were parenting our boys.
And looking ahead, what are the hopes and the prayers for your children, how they would turn out, what they would do, and what you're going to do?
It's a good question. I don't necessarily want them to be big mountain, like it's the goal is not to make them all mountain climbers, like expert mountain climbers. I want them to live in a big story. My hope is that they can face almost impossible tasks and know that they can do it and do it. Like, that's my goal. And that's what I hope for my kids. I hope that they'll think back, wow, this seems impossible. But when I was 8, I looked up at El Capitan. That seemed impossible.
I can do all things through Christ.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
All right.
I'm teaching them that.
Joe, I appreciate you sharing your heart with us. I know this is very, very sensitive. This will help a lot of people, I think, with their own faith. And also wanted to thank Sylvan for coming aboard and helping us with this too. And
You're welcome.
thank you. Really appreciate it, man. Thank you very much.
Yeah.